Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you. And if you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. And if you're listening in online today, we welcome you, especially those of Chiswick Manor who may be listening in as well today or over this week ahead. Will the Lord be with you? Could you take a moment just to turn to the person next to you and just say good morning, welcome to church, hello,
good morning, Sam.
My name's who? Will the Lord be with you? We'll be with you, Linda. We'll be with you.
Morning, David.
It's good. It's good to meet as a family, as God's people, in God's place, under God's rule. It's wonderful. Well, I take it you would have received your bulletin as you came in. Also, a little communion cup. If you've not got one, you can dash outside now and just get one at the entrance to the church, for we'll be sharing in the Lord's Supper together. Today is Bible teaching. We're continuing through the Gospel of Luke, and we're thinking about the certainty of the things that we have been taught from God's Word regarding Jesus. And yes, tempted in every way he was, yet without sin. A sentence of scripture to prepare us to hear God's word is from Hebrews chapter 4. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Our God is a God who's worth being praised and thanked, the only true God. So let's stand before we sing together and praise our God by saying the Psalm 148 together and then leading into our first song together. Together, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters under the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds to do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Well, our first song picks up on that psalm, No Other Name.
No! There is no victory but Jesus crucified. No other cure for sin but that our Savior died. No other hope we have but that He rose again.
He rose again.
My joy in sorrow's tears, my strength to cast out fears. No other name but Jesus, Jesus. My hope in darkest night, my broken soul's delight. No other name but Jesus, Jesus. No other throne endures, no other song remains, but worthy is the Lamb who was for sinners slain. When every knee shall bow and tongue confess You are Lord, You are Lord. My joy in sorrow's tears, my strength to cast off fears. No other name but Jesus.
Please take a seat. No other name. No other name to be praised and glorified. He is our Lord and He is our Saviour. So let us come before our God this morning and let us pray together this prayer. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Together, Lord, have mercy on us and write Your commandments in our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask Coral to come up and read to us our two Bible readings this morning, of which you can find in your bulletin. You can follow along or on the screen behind me here.
Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, where we read about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word spoken in the past in many and various ways through the prophets to our forefathers. But in these last days, Father, you've spoken to us through your Son, Jesus, through those who witnessed him and saw him. Help us now, Heavenly Father, to understand your word. Help me to teach it correctly, and may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis and to the Luke reading. Have them there handy, ready, either in your Bibles, either in front of you, or in the handout inside your bulletin. This morning, we continue our Bible teaching time through the Gospel of Luke. And the reason Luke gives for writing his Gospel, you'll recall, is found in the fourth verse of the very first chapter, so that the readers, you and I, and anyone who chooses to read this book, may know the certainty of the things that they have been taught, the things that we have been taught from God's Word, the Bible, regarding Jesus, who he is, and what he's come into the world to do for us. And today, the title of the sermon is, Yes, It's True, Jesus Was Tempted in Every Way as We Are, Yet Without Sin. I have a sweet tooth, and I like chocolate. I have a confession to make. Such is the temptation for me to eat chocolate that I have been known to be so desperate for chocolate at times, I have gone behind Rosemary's back and raided the kitchen cupboard looking for chocolate, cooking chocolate, or any sort of chocolate that'll be around the place, such that now that we have to have secret hiding places, don't we? But I trivialise temptation. We all struggle with the reality of temptations that we have that have the potential to cripple our lives or the lives of others. We struggle with it daily. It's why Jesus, I take it, expects of us to pray daily, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if we're honest with ourselves, it brings us great grief. He who is without sin cast the first stone. But encouragingly, Jesus is someone who could do something I cannot do, that you cannot do, that we cannot do. Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. The question we ought to ask ourselves then is why? Why? Why was Jesus tempted? So turn with me to the first of our readings from Genesis. I don't know if you've picked it up, but there is a lot of similarity, isn't there, between what we read here in Genesis and in our Luke reading this morning. And I think the similarity is not to go unnoticed, is not for us to go unnoticed. It's in the beginning, and we've been made aware that God has created the world and all that is in it. And in a garden, God has placed mankind, Adam and Eve. And to them, God has spoken his word as to live, as to life. They are to be God's people in God's place under God's rule. Everything appears to be perfect and hopeful for the future when we are made aware that something has drastically gone wrong behind the scenes, so it seems. In the context of food and being hungry, we're introduced to a creature that is in God's place where Adam and Eve are, the garden, under God's rule, doubting, if not questioning, the wisdom of being God's people, in God's place, under God's rule. Did God really say? The creature asks. We read of temptation beginning, to not believe the word of God, to doubt if God has our best interest and his best interests at heart. And a choice arises for Adam and Eve as to whether to trust God at his word, resist the temptation and obey God, or choose to take matters into their own hands and take an alternative path for life they risk might be better for them than the one God has promised. This was no trivial temptation, nor choice on their part. Their decision was a matter of life or death. And we know the outcome. They heed the creature and they choose death. As in Adam, all die. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. And sin entered the world. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. Separation from God and all that is good forever. Mankind is lost to God. And we read in verse 8, this sad picture. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Turn with me now to the second of our readings from Luke's Gospel. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus is no longer a child, but an adult of 30 years. The reason why the manger is here still in the church at the end of the pews and without the baby in it is to remind us of that fact, that Jesus did not stay a baby, but grew up to be a man. His purpose was not to stay at Christmas, but to go to Easter, to the cross. Jesus is no longer a child, as we pick it up in chapter 3 and 4, but an adult of 30 years. Jesus has just been shown that he has come to identify with mankind, with us, through his baptism. We read that in the previous chapter. And you remember, as Jesus prayed, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. And a voice from heaven came, God's reassuring voice, God's word, saying, remember, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus heard it, John heard it, and the crowd heard it. And if people had any doubt as to whether Jesus is the Son of God, Luke records for us the genealogy of Jesus, which ends with "Son of God." It's important to note here, as I think I mentioned last week in my sermon, that in Luke's Gospel and in the book of Acts, the continuation of Luke's Gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit is the empowering, the enabling of God for Jesus to carry out his sonship, his ministry, God's plan for lost mankind. So when Luke writes that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit there in verse 1 of chapter 4, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, we're being told by Luke that what Jesus was about to face and accomplish was God's plan, and God will make it happen. Okay? Like in the garden, all appears to be perfect and hopeful for the future. God's person, in God's place, under God's rule, now in Jesus. Then, like the garden for Adam and Eve, doubt and temptation arises. We're introduced to the devil, who, like in the garden with Adam and Eve, raises the doubt of what God has spoken. Did God really say? This time to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God." Did God really say, "You are the Son of God, in whom I am well pleased"? And with three temptations, the devil here, Luke records for us, obviously from the words of Jesus alone, for this is a story that Jesus must have told to his disciples and carried on and for Luke to write down, the three temptations that the devil seeks to place doubt in Jesus' mind as to his sonship, verses 3 and 4, and then regarding his authority, verses 5 to 7. And if God his Father and is his Father, and that he is God's Son and has Jesus' best interests at heart, I think in verses 8 through to 12, the devil, knowing that the plan of God to save a lost mankind was for Jesus to go to the cross and die, wanted Jesus to test his Father if he would rescue him from the grave before the time actually came. All this getting Jesus to doubt his Father at his word. Did God really say? What better way to thwart the plan of God for Jesus, for lost mankind, than to trip Jesus up right at the start of his ministry, to make him like Adam, like Eve? What better way to take away the certainty of our own salvation by the one who could only do it for us than to trip him up right at the start. But with each doubt, with each temptation, Jesus resisted with the word of God, with what God had said. Again, it's interesting to note that the verses Jesus chose to use, I don't know if you've realized this, are those that were actually spoken by God to his people Israel when they were wandering in the desert on the prompt to the promised land. You can read that little story in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 13 through to 8, verse 3. So getting back to our question, why was Jesus tempted? We could say, and can say, to teach us an example of how to deal with temptation, to trust God at his word and obey, and that would be okay, and that'd be right. But where it is in Luke's gospel, I take it, we're being reminded of who our Lord is, what he has done to secure our salvation, to give us certainty of the things we have been taught. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Remember what wrote the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be certain that the one who has come to seek and to save the lost mankind, to save me, a sinner, to save you, a sinner, had the credentials to do so. We have no reason to doubt God at his word written, that we, lost mankind, have been sought by Jesus and saved by Jesus, by God through the person and work of Christ, the one who has the credentials to do it for us. At the cross, God made him, writes Paul to the church in Corinthians, sin at the cross, to be sin, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. For we read in 1 Peter 3 verse 18, Christ suffered once for sin, the righteous one for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Amen. Why was Jesus tempted? So that we might have the certainty of the things we have been taught. Let's stand and say what we believe in this statement of belief with other Christians in response to hearing God's word. Let's stand and say what we believe in this statement of belief and in song together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Well, as our musos come today, we're being reminded in this song, humble birth in Herod's reign, Jew and deity. God was with them once for all, shared humanity. John the Baptist knew his sign, prophesied the way, turn to God, his kingdom near, repent, believe, obey. And helping me in helping us today in our service is Sam on the keyboard, Rosemary on the guitar, and Linda is our soul singer. Thanks, musos.
Jesus Christ, the King and Savior, blessed Lord Emmanuel. Please be seated. Let's join together in a time of prayer. So please sit or kneel as you feel comfortable to join in prayer together. God of justice and mercy, we come before you aware of our own sinfulness and distraction from listening to you and trusting you as we should. Please forgive us. Thank you that Jesus was perfect in every way, that he was tempted in every way, and yet because he trusted you at your word, he was able to use your word to protect himself from the cleverness and craftiness of the devil. Thank you that the same spirit that was with Jesus is also with us. Help us to trust you, to listen to your word and your spirit, so that we may resist the temptations that are put in front of us. We thank you that you are both a God of justice and also of mercy, that at the same time as we deserve your condemnation and righteous anger for our failings, that you also love us so much that you have taken the punishment we deserve for us in Jesus' death and given us the hope of new life with him in the resurrection. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have done for us, and help us to trust you in all things and at all times. Amen. Let us pray for unity and peace. All-powerful and ever-living God, help us to respond to your love that is written within us. Help us to respond to your love that is within us, that what we do in the name of your Son may lead mankind to unity and peace. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bring before you the people and country of Tonga this week after the volcanic eruption and tsunami from a week ago. We thank you that the loss of life has been surprisingly limited and for the preparation that the Tongan, Australian and New Zealand governments had already done to be ready for an event like this. We ask now for rapid and meaningful assistance and aid for the people of Tonga and for perseverance and strength for them as they face the enormity of the cleanup effort. Help our governments to be generous in what they do for the people of Tonga and for us individually to consider what we can do too. Thank you that so many people in Tonga are fellow believers, and we ask that you protect them from doubt and disbelief, but rather to be able to see miracles in what you now provide for them every day. Lord God, we trust this situation into your care. Amen. Sovereign and mighty Lord, we continue to pray for the world, our nation, our city and ourselves as we respond to the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you for how we've largely been kept safe so far as a community and for the provision of so many vaccines to protect us. Heavenly Father, we also continue to thank you for the medical workers who care for so many who are sick and seriously ill from this disease. Please strengthen them in their work, particularly as we see the efforts that so many of them are going to in doing their jobs. Give them protection through good protocols and safety equipment to be able to continue to do what they do. We also especially bring before you people who work in aged and disability care. We ask for them to also be kept safe at this time. As we now respond to the Omicron variant, please help us to be careful and mindful of each other. We pray for those who are in hospital and ICU, and ask that they will get the care they need and be healed. We bring before you the family and friends of those who have died recently of the virus. Please give them comfort at their time of unexpected loss and grief. Sovereign Father, give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis. We also continue to ask that there will be increasing equity in the distribution of the vaccines around the world. Please give global leaders the courage and the strength to make wise decisions for all people in all countries. And finally, Lord God, our Shepherd, grant to your people patience, compliance and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Lord God, we know that you are our strength and shield, so we pray for all of this, putting our trust in you. Amen. Lord God, our protector, we thank you for the work that Anglicare does in schools, aged care, hospitals and correctional facilities through their chaplaincy activity. We thank you for the opportunity to go into these places and show that everyone is created in your image and is therefore valued and worthy of care and love. We thank you for the people who do this work and look to make you known to others in these various settings. We ask that you will sustain them and encourage them in their work. We thank you that your Spirit prepares the way and upholds and guides them in what they are doing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way Anglicare is organised to make this happen and the positive impact that this work has in showing your love and grace to many people in our community. Amen. Lord God, our foundation and rock, we thank you for the leadership of our diocese, and thank you especially for the Most Reverend Kanishka Raphael, our Archbishop, and the Reverend Dr. Michael Stead, our Regional Bishop. We ask that you will give them wisdom, courage, and unity of purpose in the matters that they are facing and addressing on behalf of the diocese. Heavenly Father, we bring before you all our brothers and sisters across the diocese today and ask that you will bless each parish as it meets today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts, so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time. We have Anthony away on his mission trip. We ask that this will be a time of blessing and encouragement for him and the team. We ask that you will keep them safe as they meet various people in different places, and that importantly, that the outreach that they do will be fruitful and your Spirit will bless the work that they're doing as a team. We also bring before you particularly Brian Cave, Fiona McGregor, and various members of Coral Chamberlain's family, and also for Bronte, Barbara and Tony's granddaughter. We turn to you and trust that you will provide what is needed for each person in their time of need. Amen. Lord our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, David. Well, we come in the time of the service when we remember God's great love for us and the love we ought to have for one another in the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. So brothers and sisters in Christ, we who come to receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ can come only because of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life, remember, and to die for us on the cross. So in remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament, which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord must examine themselves and amend their lives. They must come with a repentant heart and steadfast faith. Above all, they must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. You then who truly repent of your sins are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen it and sustain you. But first, let us all make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God. Together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things and you call everyone to account. With shame, we confess the sins we have committed against you in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father, For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life, to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, strengthen you to do his will, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise, always and everywhere. It's right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator, and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Together, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, our Father, that in your love and mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself, once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, may be partakers of his body and blood in remembrance of his suffering, according to our Saviour's command. For on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. And drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving today. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his suffering. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as you came in, you would have received the news and notes, and I draw your attention to those. And the key things that will come up on the screen right now that we're remembering as a church is that today I'm really grateful for those who have filled in their sharing and ministry pamphlets and placed them in the red box at the back. And if you've still got to do that today, there's still time. Please put everyone have a write something there, fill it in, and put it in the Sunday in the little red box at the back of the church. Indicating a willingness to share in some way in the ministry of this church together. Next Saturday, men, don't need to tell me that you're coming or not. I'll prepare for a good crowd. Please come and have a breakfast with me from 8:30 through to 10:30. It'll be COVID-safe breakfast out here in the playground area that's there from 8:30 to 10:30. Please come along, men. And if you'd like to bring a friend along, please do so. It'd be a great time of fellowship as we start the year off together meeting. If you would like prayer after the service today, Dick and Fiona will be up the front to pray for you. Parish Council will be meeting after church today, after morning tea. And if you want to stay and continue the fellowship, please do so. And it'll be a lovely time just to catch up with news with one another. Remembering our sentence of scripture today to prepare us to hear God's word was from Hebrews 4 verse 15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we have been, yet without sin. We can be confident that the one for whom has come to seek and save the lost is able to do that for his obedience unto death upon a cross. Let's stand and sing our final song. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. And we thank our musos for leading us in our time of worship.
Yeah.
surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you, amongst us always. Amen. Amen.